ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: الصلاة معراج المؤمنين، الصدقة برهان، الصيام الجد، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected elders, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with iman. The more effort we make about iman, Allah Rabbul Izzat will grant us the ability to appreciate all other things. In our tafsir lesson, this is the first lesson regarding Ar-Rahman, regarding Alhamdulillah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Previous lessons we dealt with compilation of Quran and Bismillah Rahman Rahim, about 18 to 19 lessons. Inshallah, we'll continue from here next week, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills. First week of Ramadan, Allah Rabbul Izzat is the planner of everything. We had planned that we'll start Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, the first week of Ramzan. But Allah Rabbul Izzat will that we go to hospital. That happened. This week we will talk on Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, and next week we continue. The following week, if I am well, I may go to Etika and we'll make some arrangements. First of all, translation of the ayat. Translation is very simple, that in reality all praise is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah. In reality, all praise is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is Rabb, who is the Rabb of the Alameen, of all the worlds. This word Rabb must not be translated as Lord. Everywhere you'll find this. The people translate the word Rabb as Lord. Rabb is different, Lord is different. Lord gives the idea, unfortunately, of Lord, Lordship, fascism, regime, and all these other things. Lord and judge, governorship, and judicial systems. Lord giving the idea that it is completely a Christian word, and we have used it. Like many other words which I brought to your notice, this is one of the words that you keep on finding. And practically, unfortunately, every translator of the Quran, he uses this word. Whenever he translates Rabb, as this word Rabb comes so many times in the Quran Kareem, and they will translate Rabb as Lord. Whereas Rabb and Lord are not equal in any way. Why I am stressing on this usage of words? Because via these words, the Western media, via television, radio, magazine, leaflets, have practically brainwashed us. And they've got us to think in a particular way. And this Islamic vocabulary is going away from our household. Slowly, slowly they are taking it away. That's why I have got inferiority complex, that when you're talking to some person who is wanting to accept Islam, then you will keep on using the word God, God all the time. To such an extent, they have brainwashed us that you and I, when we translate Hajar-e Aswad, we keep translating as Blackstone of the Kaaba. Everybody, you could ask anybody to translate Hajar-e Aswad, to translate for Blackstone. Whereas Blackstone is not the right translation. the right translation, as you know, the history of the Hajar Aswad is, it was white when it came down. And he says, sins of man made it black. Tafsir Ibn Kathir has quoted by Murad Hussain Ahmad Madani Rahmatullah Alayhi in the Indian Revolution. When the Indian Revolution was taking place, and the Muslims were saying that no, we should leave India and go to Pakistan, then Murad Hussain Ahmad Madani Rahmatullah Alayhi, with some Hindu Arya Samaj leaders, said no, India is for Hindus and it is Hindustan. Then Murad Hussain Ahmad Madani Rahmatullah Alayhi brought this proof that Hazrat Adam Alayhi Salatu Wasalam came to Hindustan. There is a place in Indo-Pak called Adam's Peak. There is another place where the footprints of Hazrat Adam Alayhi Salatu Wasalam. And the Hadith in Tabarani and the Tafsir Ibn Kathir states this also. That Hazrat Adam Alayhi Salatu Wasalam was sent there first. He was sent from Jannah and he was sent with the chief of the stones from Jannah, the Hajar Aswad, which was white in color. Proving here, I'm trying to prove that this word Hajar Aswad was not be translated as black stone, like this word here, Rab, was not be translated as Lord. Lord gives an idea to all these feudal systems and all these wrong systems. So the translation of Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen would be that in reality all praise is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the Rabb of the Alameen, who is Rabb of all the worlds. That action which man does, which has got choice in it, voluntarily he does that action, and which has got his power over it, and he knows about it, and he is in full control over it, and then he does a good action, then he is achieving something and he is deserving of praise. And every action of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how minute it can be, has got these things. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does with his intention, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does voluntarily, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does, and he has got full knowledge of what he is doing and full control over what he is doing. Every action of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has these qualities in it. No matter how small that action is, no matter how big that action is, Allah Rabbul Izzat has got these qualities in it. And that is why we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is worthy of praise. Many a times we ourselves, we do actions. We do things, but at times we do it involuntarily. Sometimes you got no control over the action, although it may be a good action. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's every action has got these things in it. That he has got control over it, he has got ilm of it, knowledge of it, and he has got power over it, a total power over it. There are two things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is praised, to use the word hamd. And there is another word in Arabic or Urdu, which is called bada'. Bada'a means flattery. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated in a hadith that upon the flatterous face or head, throw dust. And here the word Allah Rabbul Izzat, in his infinite knowledge and wisdom, is using the word hamd, not flatter. When we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are not flattering. For example, flattery is motivated. If you're looking for some power, if you're looking for some glory, and if you're looking for some green grass, and if you're looking for some seat, or you're looking for some vote, or you want to have some position, and you want some material gain, then you flatter a person. Irrespective of the person is in the wrong, then you flatter him. And you see this especially voting time. Whether the voting is permissible or not permissible, that's an issue. But you will see this happening. The whole year no one is around. But some voting time the people come. And they'll praise the people. And they will promise the world, I'll do this and I'll do this and I'll do this. And once they get into the seat and the power, the glory and the power comes, then nothing is done. This happens not only locally or nationally, it happens internationally. where the system of voting is prevalent. The system of voting also needs to be clarified properly according to Islam. What is the voter's right, and what is the candidate's right, and who is supposed to be candidate, and why? You want a job, you're looking for some work, or you're selling some product, also flattery goes on. Unnecessary flattery will go on. And then you go to propose someone. Then you'll see the people around you who take the proposal also will flatter the person and will start saying things about the person, the boy or the girl, which are not there. Qualities which are not there, they will start mentioning. This is all flattery and goes under flattery. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the outset in the Quran al-Kareem, the first ayah is stipulating Alhamdulillah. That hamd, praise, reality which is actually praise is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is why Allah Rabbul Izzat is using the word hamd and not madha. And there is another difference between a person using the word hamd and madha. Allah Rabbul Izzat, we praise Him, we use the word hamd because all His qualities, all His attributes are perfect. There is no defect in His qualities. Every quality of His, whether it be seeing, hearing, knowledge, creative, you name the quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect. Is perfect, is complete, without any flaw or defect. Whereas human beings or any creation, their qualities, their attributes, no matter how good they may be, but they are still defective in some way or the other. Allah Rabbul Izzat, Alhamdulillah, has blessed us with many qualities. Eyesight, hearing, speaking, whatever quality it may be, Allah Rabbul Izzat has placed a certain amount of defect in it. For example, eyesight. We can see, but with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, some of us become short-sighted, some of us become long-sighted, some of us have to use lenses, some of us have to have operations. With the eyesight, without using the glasses, we cannot see what the microscope can see. Although these molecules are present on the earth, present in the atmosphere, we cannot see it without a different instrument. Allah Rabbul Izzat, when He sees, for example, He sees everything perfectly and how it's supposed to be. And He sees all at one time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, hears. He hears everybody. He is listening to us and He will listen to everybody all at one time. A lot like us, we are defective in this sense that we cannot hear everything one time. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether you cry loudly in your dua or silently, whether you make the dua loudly or silently, Allah Rabbul Izzat hears them. And Allah Rabbul Izzat acknowledges us. For example, your and my knowledge, all is limited, has got some limitations and boundaries. But Allah Rabbul Izzat, knowledge is unlimited. He does not require any means to get the knowledge. We require means to get the knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without any means, without any causes, without any medium, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gets the knowledge. At the time, sometimes in the hadiths you get that the angels take our a'mal up, or take our actions up and report to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These things are there in the hadith for emphasis. Allah Rabbul Izzat will question us on the day of judgment. Did you do this? This does not mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not know. No, it means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making you yourself testify to your own actions. That you did it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is praised because all His qualities are all perfect, are all complete. And another reason why we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that every quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we love. See, for example, we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of His might, His glory, and for all the boons and favors Allah has given us. And you flatter people motivated. You flatter people because you want to get their good books. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we praise Him because we love him, we praise him, because sincerely we have to love him. There is no other motivation involved. For example, you flatter people so that you can get work out of them. There is personal gain, there is personal benefit. And you will use all flowery language to get your personal gain and benefit. Allah Rabbul Izzat, whether you praise him or you do not praise him, Allah Rabbul Izzat, glory and power stays exactly where it is. Allah Rabbul Izzat does not require our praise. So that is why the word Hamd is used here, and no other word in the Arabic or the language is used. Why? Because this word shows that we are praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there is no motivation in it. See, and the word Hamd is used in the Arabic language because we are not equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See, in this world here, you praise people, you flatter people, you talk good of people, because at times you are just as good as them, or you are better than them. For example, a teacher praises his student. You have done well. You have done good. Why the student, the teacher realizes that this student is good. And he acknowledges this. And he takes cognizance of the fact that the student is progressing. And the student is behaving well, is doing good. Therefore he will laud the student and he will praise the student. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the word Hamd is used because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got no equal. There is no equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All other words in the Arabic language will state which means praise, which flattery, which means talking good about, will mean that you are equal to, or you are parallel, or you are par to the person you are talking good about. And then there is no motivation as stated previously. Then, the word flattery is used when you praise a person who is past away. You cannot use it for a person who is past away. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is hay, He is alive. He is not dead. He is alive all the time. And He will, He is, He was, and He is going to be. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's His quality. That's His attribute. That is why the word hamd is used, because there is all praise all the time. In the future, in the past, in the present, there is praise all the time for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no such thing as the praise for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will end. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His praise will always continue. That is why the word hamd is used, because this word hamd has got no time factor attached to it. But flattery, you will flatter a person as is in front of you. When you get your job done, he is gone. When he is gone, then his flattery is gone. All the good words are also gone. In fact, after that, you may speak ill about the person. As soon as you get your job done, then he is gone, you will talk ill about him. But the word hamd has got no space for this. That when you praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at another time you are not going to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This word, Alhamdulillah, is actually what you call a claim. See, every praise, all forms of praise, is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a claim. Alhamdulillah. And the proof is coming now. The proof is Rabbil Alamin. Allah Rabbul Izzat, He is the Rabb of the Alameen. That is the proof. Why we must praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because He is Rabb of the Alameen. First comes the claim, and then comes the proof. Understand that very well. That by saying, first, Alhamdulillah, we are actually making a claim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first is making a claim in the Quran al-Kareem. Alhamdulillah. That all and every in reality, praise is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? What is the reason? What is the proof? He is Rabbul Alameen. He is the Rabb of the Alameen. Now the word Rabb. What exactly the word Rabb means? Sahaba Ikram, taught by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, understood the meaning. That is why they were able to achieve what they achieved. Because they understood what the word Rabb means. Rabb means that to bring something from non-existent to existence, and after that to sustain it, to maintain it, to make it survive, in all its stages, under all its conditions, or under all times, until it grows up, until perfection. This is the meaning of Rabb. One who does this. And who is the Rabb is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is our sustainer, He is our nourisher, He is the one who is keeping us alive, maintaining us. Whether we acknowledge it, whether man acknowledges this or not, it is Allah who is the Rabb. We'll discuss just now how Pharaoh, he said, Ana Rabbukum al-A'la, that he is the big Rabb, he is the lofty Rabb. But the meaning of Rabb, for example, that the child, from the mother's womb, as soon as the child, the germination takes place, fertilization takes place, as soon as that happens, from that time, from the time the child is born in the mother's womb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is providing sustenance, providing risk for that child. When the child comes from that world, from that alam, from that world, the child comes into the world, the alam of the world, the dunya. As soon as the child comes, Allah Rabbul Izzat is providing for the child. He's providing still for the child. The child learns to crawl, the child learns to walk. Allah Rabbul Izzat is still providing. Yes, the child learns to walk, talk, and grows up from youth to a young man, and then grows a beard, etc. And gets into a big adult. Still the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is providing. And only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in reality the provider. Because we have got all these other materialistic things in front of us, we think that these things are providing. And Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, trained by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fully well knew that Allah is the provider. That is why they were able to bring the whole world at their feet. Because they realized this fact. And that is why Allah Rabbul Izzat is bringing this in the first ayat of the Quran, this concept that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Rabb. And He is the Rabb of the Alameen, not only of one individual, of the ant or the elephant, but He is the Rabb of everything. The whole universe, the whole galaxy, Allah Rabbul Izzat, He is the Rabb. And He is the Rabb under all circumstances, under all environments, under all situations, Allah is the Rabb. See a little baby has got this thought in its mind. And you can see it behaves in this fashion. Then, when it requires milk, then it will cry. It will cry, and the mother will bring it up. The baby watches. Listen, Dad, the bottle. The milk comes from the bottle. So the child is concerned, the milk comes from the bottle. So when the child is in need of milk, then it will point towards the bottle. It will indicate towards the bottle. And it will cry and it will hit the bottle. Why it needs what is inside the bottle? Because it thinks that the milk comes from the bottle. Then, when it grows a little, then it realizes that the milk does not come from the bottle, it comes from the stove, there is a pot there. It's coming from there. So, when the child needs milk at that stage, it will point towards the pot, and it will point because it thinks the milk is coming from the pot. Later it realizes, no man, the milk is not coming from the pot, nor from the bottle, but there is one man in the body who comes and delivers from the other bottle. So when there is no milk, the child knows that I must wait for that man to come, he will come or deliver, or my father or mother will go and buy that milk, and it will come from there. The shop is giving the milk, or the man is giving the milk. And the child grows up now, maybe it left the milk and left the bottle, it realizes, no, it's not coming from that bottle, it's not coming from the pot, it's not coming from the stove, it's not coming from the milkman or the shop, it's coming from the cow. then it realizes that by the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how beautiful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also explains this in the Quran al-Kareem, that milk is coming, and it's coming from where there is meat and where there is also dirt. The cow has got both things inside it. It's got milk there, has got blood there, has got meat there, and has got all its feces and all its dirt which it takes up. But from between all that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes out pure, He takes out pure milk. An indication for us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is granting us pure milk from all that environment, from all that circumstances, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is granting us pure milk. Therefore, ibadat must be purely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also. Therefore, sijda and ruku and ibadat and sawm and hajj and everything must be solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the pleasure and for the raza of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. Now this child here, we are like that child. We are still under the depression that we also feel that, listen, that my wealth, that my sustenance, that my money and the food that I am getting, it is from the shop, it is from the factory, it is from the institute, it is from the job, it is from the work, it is from my business, it is because of my own effort. All this is happening because our concept and our belief of Rabb is not like what Allah is Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam want us. It is just like a child. The child believes that the milk is coming from the pot or the bottle. We also feel this. Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala wa majma'in fully understood this fact that Allah is the provider. And Allah will provide for us irrespective of under which condition. See, when you have this concept, when you have this concept that Allah would provide for you, when Allah would provide for us under all circumstances, then to say the truth is very easy after that. To stand for the truth is very easy after that. To propagate the truth is very easy after that. To give the life for the truth is very easy after that. See, man, half of the time he refuses to say the truth because he fears that if I say the truth, people will start saying, no, must not support him. Don't support him financially, don't support him morally, don't support him, cut his providence, cut his risk. Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala ajma'in fully realized this. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he gave the call of Tawheed, when he gave the call that Allah is the sustainer, he's the nourisher, he's the only nourisher and only sustainer, then he fully realized that these people would go against him. But he stood his ground. Why? Because he knew that Allah is the provider. And every saint, every awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had this thing in him fully also. Pick up the life of any saint and read it. The saint fully realized that Allah is the provider. Allah is the only darisha. And Allah will provide for me irrespective of where I am and where, in which condition I am. Allah will provide. Every mujahid, every warrior and soldier of Islam had the very same concept. This is the point of difference between us and the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala. That we look at our material sources before doing anything. We look at our finance before doing anything. We look at all our mediums before doing anything. Brother Yusuf Hamidullah Ali, second Amir of the Tabligh Jamaat, he stated in one of his sayings that if I have given 330 people who have the quality of Badri Sahabis, I'll cause a revolution on earth. Somebody asked you, why 330 and why Badri Sahabis? Brother Yusuf Rahmatullah Ali explained that Sahabi, because fazilat of Sahabi and virtue of Sahabi, everybody knows. 330, because Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala were 330 in the Battle of Badr. And Badri Sahabis, because Badri Sahabis were those Sahabis who had their contact with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and today we have got our contact with our pockets. We have got our contact with our jail. never contact with our financial resources. You have to do anything today, no matter how small it is, no matter how big it is in Islam, then we start looking at our financial resources, we look at our manpower, we look, have we got this, have we got this, have we got this. But if you look at the history of Islam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was propagating Tawheed, and we started the message that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one, and follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what he had absolutely nothing. And what he was offered, the Arabs offered him. If you look at the history of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the Arabs offered him. They told him, they sent a delegation. And they sent this delegation after they made a big mashwara in their Darul Nadwa. They had a place called Darul Nadwa, they should make the mashwara there. After making the mashwara, then they sent a delegation to him, proposing to him. They said, give up your message. We offer you these things. That if you want women, we will give you the best woman in the whole locality, in the whole of Arabia, we'll present you. If you want wealth, we will give you any amount of wealth you want. We will give it to you. Let alone that, if you want kingship, we will give you kingship. And if you are sick, then we'll get you the best of it. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, can you imagine in this age if somebody proposes, then they'll say, oh, diplomacy says that you must not say the truth for a while and take the money so you can use the money. Diplomacy says